Mishnah teaches us a fair amount about basar betzad givina, milk, meat and milk alongside one another, when it's a spatial issue, when it's a geographical issue. That was our focus last week, Simon Peches, the dinam of Ha'alah. And we saw the Mishnah is talking about Kuf Dalet, Kuf Gimel, Kuf Dalet, Kuf Zayin. And now we turn our attention to the dinam, not we move from a geographical, a spatial basar betzad givina to sort of more of a temporal, time-oriented basar achar givina, or givina achar basar. I mean, it's not that they're alongside one another, but one is after the other. And that overall is the topic of the simon that we begin tonight, simon peites. It is, as you saw over the course of this week, it does not appear in the Mishnayos in the way that Ha'alah does, but there's much more in the Gemara. It's quite a bit in the Gemara, and it's a sugya over the course of several memories over the course of a block, from Kuf Dalet Beis to Kuf Hei Beis. And Simon Peites consists of four sifim. It really lays out the topics are in four sections. The sif aleph is meat and then milk, basar v'achakach gvina. Sif beis is the reverse, when it's milchix first, gvina v'achakach basar. Sif gimel is when you're talking not about a piece of meat, but about tavshil basar, and that's rooted in the last piece of the sugya on kuf hei beis. And finally, sif dalet is other dinim and other hanhagas that relate to eating one after the other. Besides the core issue of waiting, the question of if you're eating, you know, one after the other, since you're switching the bread and the tablecloth and so on and so forth. So those sort of ancillary issues are going to be sif dalet. Really a very clear sense of organization that Shulchan Aruch gives us in the four sifim. I'd like to be Mesadar Alim, but I'd mentioned last week in distributing the Maror Makomos that rather than having one set of Maror Makomos for this week or one for next week, it really made sense to have one set of Maror Makomos for this siman, because it's so, I know none of you, as you notice over the course of the week, it's very intertwined. A lot of Gemara, and then the Gemara sort of relate to each other. We don't have a lot to say how the Gemara relate to each other. So what I'd like to do tonight in Chabura is to begin by learning the Gemara, not to learn the Gemara line by line, to learn the Gemara Shelo al HaSeder, but sort of let's first get a bird's eye view of the four pieces of the sugya, and then we're going to dive into one piece, and we'll move from there, and we'll see sort of naturally how things emerge as the Rishonim look at the interaction with the different pieces of the Gemara. And then I anticipate that we'll at least get into Se'if Aleph tonight, and we will, as advertised, continue Mitzvah next week. It's a very, very rich, surprisingly rich. The first thing about it seems like it's just sort of a series of little pieces, but there's a lot of richness and a lot of nuance, a lot of interaction. So again, let's begin by sort of the bird's eye view of the Gemara. So over the course of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, Kuf Hei Amud Beis, there essentially are four chunks. Four chunks. First you have, we'll name them and then we'll talk about them a little bit, and then we're going to dive into learning inside. We'll begin inside with chunk number three. The four chunks are, on Kuf Dalet Beis, you have the Agra and Yitzhak Breder of Mesharshia. And then going from Kuf Dalet to Kuf Hei, chunk number two is Beishan and Beis Hillel. The discussion about that. Chunk number three, in the middle of Daf Kuf Hei and Aleph, is a question of waiting, Kama Yisha, Rav Chisda, Mar Ukva, and so forth. And finally, chunk number four is the Gemara gets into other topics and then comes back. And chunk number four is a few lines at the top of Kuf Hei and Beis with the important Tosfos about Tavshil. Do we differentiate between an actual piece of cheese versus a tavshil? What does tavshil mean? What do you do when it's not actual piece of meat or actual piece of cheese, but it's tavshil? Those are the four pieces. Agra Mitzvah Breder, Mesharshia number one, Shai Beis Hillel number two, waiting number three, and finally tavshil number four. And just to open them up a little bit, just to sort of summarize, to survey to survey the terrain before we open up inside and work on the on piece number three. So the first piece, Agra and Ritzak Breit and Misharsha, on Kuvdal and Beis, section one, as you saw, is focused on the question of washing hands and the question of cleaning your mouth. Netilas Yadayim and Kinuach HaPeh. Do you need them? Do you not need them? And so a couple of key points emerge from that first piece. Agra's Breisa, and then the story of Ritzak Breit and Misharsha. Number one, the Gemara already highlights that there are two different danger zones. You have to think about your hands, and residue from the first meal on your hands will end up there. That's why you have the Netilas Yadayim. And the Kinuach HaPeh, obviously, there's a concern of residue in your mouth. Another point that comes up in this first piece of Gemara is the distinction between day and night, at least with respect to your hands. It's like Beis Misharsha says, even if there's an expectation to wash your hands, it's at night, you can't see. But if it'll be during the day, or Bismanenu Anu, we live in a post Thomas Edison world, so you have great electric lights, if you can see, so you can see. But the issue with the hands is either look or wash. And finally, the third significant point that comes up in this first piece, the Agra, and it's a great Misharsha, is the question of should we be mechalik with different types of fleshik. And that's really where Agra opens. The whole sugya opens with Agra has his brisa that if it's oaf and gvina, you can take liberties. It's just chicken. So chicken and cheese, you can take liberties. And the Gemara assumes that he meant to say chicken, you can take liberties, but meat you cannot. So those are the sort of the, and then the Rishonim begin to discuss, Tosfos talks about, why are we more makel on, why do we think we should makel on poultry, on oaf, is it because a halachic distinction, it's only flesh you can drop on, or is it a practical distinction, that the texture of chicken is less sticky than the texture of meat. So that was the first piece of Gemara. Agra talks about Ofu Gvina and the story of Yitzhak Breit and Misharsha, and there the focus was on what? On Nitzil Sadaim and Kinuach HaPeh, washing hands, make sure your hands are clean between eating one type and the other type, and wiping out your mouth. And then the Gemara picks up from the very next line, the bottom of Kuv Dalma Beis, onto the top of Kuv Hei Amid Aleph, for the first 10-15 lines of Kuv Hei Amid Aleph, maybe even 20 lines. The second segment is a discussion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We have a braisa where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel talk about what you do to your mouth. Are you mekaneach? Are you mediach? And the three major issues, kinuach is a dry wipe of your mouth, and hadacha, mediach, is a rinse with liquid. So the one issue the Gemara discusses is, was there a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel or not? Are they arguing? A related issue is it and or is it or? Is it kinuach and hadacha or kinuach or hadacha? Because these are two different ways of cleaning your mouth. With food, with chewing on some food, and your rinse. So that's a discussion. The Gemara discussion, we show them in terms of what the maskana is. Is it kinuach and hadacha or kinuach or hadacha? And finally, the Gemara has some discussion about what sorts of foods work for, just a technical, important technical point, what sorts of foods work for kinuach? What sorts of foods will work well? I'll chew those foods. You think about the, at a cheese tasting or a wine tasting, people are chewing a piece of bread to cleanse the palate. They're not necessarily identical, but certainly similar, at least, to this idea of kinuach. Now, the first two pieces of Gemara, you'll notice what's missing from both of them is any discussion about time. And I said before, when we opened this discussion, Simon Peches last week was Basar Bitzad Gavina. And now it's going to be not spatially next to each other, but temporally one after the other. So that's true from the very beginning. But the first two pieces of Gemara are talking about eating one and then eating the other, but no mention about how long you have to wait in between. It's just a question of what cleansing up until now, the first two chunks of Gemara, both the Agra, Yitzhak Breit, and Misharsha, segment one, and segment two, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's all about different cleansing processes. Washing your hands, clean your mouth with kinuach, clean your mouth with hadacha. The first time the Gemara mentions waiting, we would often sort of loosely say, Sim Peites is about waiting to milchus and fleshiks. But it's more than just waiting. Right? The Gemara actually doesn't introduce waiting until segment 3. And segment 3 is where the Gemara very, very, very deliberately opens by saying, Kama Yesha. So let's take a look at this Gemara inside, but first a question.
When I went through the Gemara, I was startled by the fact that Chazal thought that chewing some food can remove other food that's in there. My experience is that when you've got some food stuck there, eating something else doesn't really do a good job. Do they have a different kind of bread than we do?
It's the charcoal effect. The number one antitoxin that you give after someone eats anything is you give them charcoal to chew. It's supposed to like clear out everything in your mouth, even though your residual is charcoal. That's what we give in the hospital when someone takes if you get them quickly before they've ingested something. So I feel they probably felt this, they must have had a very hard, so it has to be something very hard. It really eliminates the entire taste of the other food and neutralizes the any effect of it.
So why do you even mention charcoal? No,
I'm saying I thought of like a havdol, like the same effect.
Let me just reiterate, particularly for those who are on Zoom. The question was, before you even move to the discussion of waiting, the question was, the Gemara speaks about kinuach, of chewing food to clean your mouth. The question is, how effective, empirically speaking, how effective is it to eat food to clean your mouth? So it sounds like, Eric, you're saying, your mouth may not be clean, but you'll have switched over. Yeah. So before I had cheese, my mouth will still be dirty, but instead of my mouth having cheese bits, the cheese bits are gone, and now I have bread bits. In terms of being clean, my mouth isn't clean, but I don't. This isn't a dental issue. This is just a question of milchus fleishiks. So I chew some other food. I'll replace. It'll scoot out the meat piece particles, and they'll be supplanted by carrots. So my mouth won't be clean, but it will be clean of fleishiks, or it will be clean of milchus, as the case may be. And you are correct. Also, the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses which foods work, which food doesn't work, and the Gemara initially has a shorter list and then ultimately expands it to a much larger list. But Rashi stresses that till the very end of the Gemara, the question is hard versus soft. And there certainly is an awareness that hard food will be more hard and hard, sturdy food. Food isn't too soft, and that food that doesn't just sort of fall apart, the chunks, harder chunks, will do a better job of cleaning your mouth. So, but we'll come back in Mitzvah Shem, maybe later tonight and certainly tomorrow, to more of the details in segments 1 and 2, in Agra, and Ritzvah, and Risharshia, and Tehillas Hadayim, and the Kinuach, and more about the Kinuach and the Hadach in segment 2, Beis HaMasil. Let's say one more question, and then let's jump inside to the third piece of Gemara.
Isn't the fact that the Gemara uses the word apikurin, though, and the way Rashi explains it, and also with some sort of timing? Or no? The apikurin, and Rashi explains, implies that he gives the time. It's just like a haphazard form of eating. Like isn't that similar to the shihiyah part?
Let's see. The apikurin explicitly, Rashi, the Gemara says apikoron means that you're not cleansing. Apikoron means that you're not doing, in this first segment of the Gemara says explicitly apikoron means you're not washing your hands or you're not cleansing your mouth. Now, again, and the fact that waiting is not discussed, Tosas is going to point out that's significant. But the Gemara doesn't directly address waiting. The Gemara just says, do you have to clean your hands or not? Do you have to clean your mouth or not? You're going to clean your mouth. Do you clean your mouth with food? Do you clean your mouth with liquid? With both? Which foods? Okay. And here we pick up now, let's pick up inside what I've been calling the third segment of the Gemara. Around 15, 20 lines down, right after the little letter Beis of the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. The line begins with the word V'yarka, and we want the next line. Ba'amine Rav'asim Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Asi, or Rabbi Asi, in Eretz Yisrael, is asking Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was a first-generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Ami were two of his main Talmidim, second generation of Amoraim Eretz. So I'll say, ask the Rebbe, ask Rabbi Eichon, Kama Yishim in Basel Gvinim? How much time do you have to wait between meat and cheese? I'm a Leva Lokom. Rabbi Eichon said, you don't have to wait at all. So they were very surprised by Rabbi Eichon's answer. Now, it's not clear whether Rabbi Asi was surprised or whether the Amoraim in Babel heard. This shock of attire was sent, reported to the Chachmei Bavel. That's how it's in the Talmud Bavli. And they said, really? How could it be? Rabbi Yechon said you don't have to wait at all. Aini, is it true? V'ha'amar of Chista. But the Amor of Chista, who was the Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, second generation Amor in Bavel, he said, Achal basar asar lechal gvina. Gvina mutar lechal basar. Rav Chista said, if you don't have to wait after melchiks, but you do have to wait after fleishiks. If you ate meat, then you're not allowed to eat cheese afterwards. If you ate cheese, then you're allowed to eat meat. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan said that kama yisha ben basar l'gvina, how much do you have to wait between meat and cheese? He says nothing. Hayitachin, it's against Rav Chista. Now, he could have said, let's get to Machlokas. Okay. Rav Chista, Rav Yechon holds Mutzer, Rav Chista holds Aser. He could have said Rav Yechon holds Yomf to wait after Fleishik. And Rav Chista says you do, but the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara apparently did not think that was likely. The Gemara said, no, we must have misunderstood. We must have an incorrect version of what the conversation was with Rav Yechon. And Lakami Yishma Megvin Labaser. It must be that Rav Asi's question was not, how much do you wait between meat and cheese, but how much do you wait between cheese and meat? In other words, you'll notice the Gemara is assuming, as Rishon pointed out, that the order matters in terms of the language. The Gemara is assuming that to say gvina lebasar means gvina first, to say basar legvina means basar first. Because that's the only change the Gemara made. It says, that's what he was asking. He was asking how much you have to wait between Gevina and Basar means cheese first, and the answer was Loklum. So now, Rav Yochanan and Rav Chista are aligned. They're both saying that you don't have to wait after Milchiks, but Rav Chista said you do have to wait after Fleishiks. And now the Gemara is going to re-raise Rav Chista and dig into that some more. Gufa. Amar Rav Chista, we just mentioned Rav Chista had said, Acha Basar Asher Lechel Gevina. But gevina mutar lechal basar, that you're not allowed to eat cheese right after meat, but you are allowed to eat meat right after cheese. The Gemara says something, has two comments about this. Let's see. Number one, I'm a layer of Achabar Yosef Lerav Chista, habasar shebein hashinayim mahu. What's the story of the meat caught between your teeth? Kari alei, so Rav Chista answered, Habaser adena ben shineim. It's a pasuk in Chumash. A pasuk in Chumash. The meat was still between your teeth. What do you see from that pasuk in Chumash? What do you see from that pasuk in Chumash? So Rashi says, you see that's called meat. The stuff that's between your teeth is not considered to just be neutral because it's been sitting in saliva. No, that's still called baser. And as Rashi understands that the issue was, well, what was Rabbi Achabar Yosef asking? Michashiv basar shalachal gvina imo achit linen. Do you have to take it out? Rav Chista told us you have to wait after fleishes before you eat milchiks. How about something stuck? Now the Rambam, it should be noted, seems to understand that this is actually not just a detail, but this is actually the rationale for the din. The rationale for the din, well, see, Rav Chista just told us a new din. Rav Chista told us you're mechayiv to wait after fleishes before. Why? So that's a matter of some debate. But perhaps, as we show them, have two approaches. Either it has to do with the residue in your mouth. Maybe it has to do with the residue that's left in your mouth. That's what Rashi says. Aser lechel gvina, when Rav Chista says, you're not allowed to eat cheese after meat. Mishum debasar motzi shuman. Because the meat is fatty. V'hu nidbak bepeh. And the fat will adhere to the inside of your mouth. Umarech betama. That flavor will endure for a while. So that's why you have to wait. The Rambam talks at the very end of Perek Tes, of Machalos Asuras, the halachas of waiting to milk and fleshes, I should say eating one after the other, Sim Pei Tes, is the last three halachas in the Rambam's Perek Tes. Perek Tes is all about Basar B'Chalav. The last three halachas are specifically about Basar Achar Chalav and Chalav Achar Basar. The Rambam says that disagrees with Rashi, that the reason you're waiting after fleshiks is not because of the shuman hanidbak pepeh, but rather because of the concern of what's stuck between your teeth. He seems to understand that this, when Acha Beit Rav Yosef mentions Rav Chista, this is actually getting to the, it's not just a detail, this is the core explanation of this din. So that's the first comment the Gemara makes about Rav Chista, is this follow-up about Basar Shmeini Shinayim, and then you have the other follow-up. And this follow-up, you know, one of the things that's a little bit hard in learning this Gemara is that we know too much. We're already assuming, we know all about this. We sort of superimpose our prejudices, I don't mean in a bad way, but nothing pejorative, but just, we're prejudiced, we know. You wait 6 hours, you wait between those, you're taking everything for granted. As a matter of fact, we might not even have noticed until the Rishonim pointed it out, that the Gemara wasn't initially, as I mentioned, that way we opened. The Gemara at first wasn't talking about waiting. It was just talking about cleansing. We just assume, of course, you wait. But we have to see where this comes from. So another thing that the next piece of Gemara, the second comment on Rav Chista is going to point out, is that Rav Chista left a gaping hole. There's something incredibly ambiguous in what he says. And he says, Achal basar asr lechal chalav asr lechal gvina, but gvina mutar lechal basar. Achal basar asr lechal gvina. Those five words are the source for this aspect of what we call waiting, hamtana, after fleshes before milchiks. Of course, he doesn't even use the word wait. He just says, if you ate meat, don't eat cheese. So we come with the assumption means, well, for a certain period of time. The truth is, he doesn't make that clear. What he certainly doesn't make clear is, well, how long? Don't eat cheese. Well, don't eat cheese. When? How? Until I stand up. Don't eat cheese in the same room. Don't eat cheese in the same hour, in the same day, in the same month. It's incredibly ambiguous. So the next piece of Gemara, Mar Ukva appears to be filling in, I stress appears, to be filling in some more details. Amar Ukva, Anola HaMilsa, Chala Bar Chamra, Legabe Abba. I, in this area of milchiks after fleshiks, compared to my father, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. Chala Bar Chamra. And vinegar, the vinegar he had in mind is probably wine vinegar. So if the wine goes sour, it becomes vinegar. So he says, I'm descended from wine, my tata was wine, and I'm like the vinegar. I'm a soured version of my father. How so? Again, vinegar is not worthless. Vinegar is worthwhile, but usually not as valuable as wine. So I'm a step down from my father. How so? My father, if he ate fleshiks today, he wouldn't eat cheese until tomorrow at the same time. Lamachar kiyashta, tomorrow at the same time. My father would wait, Mar Ukva's father waited 24 hours between fleshiks and milchiks. Fleshophobia is a very understandable concern. If eating fleshiks will make you milchiks free for 24 hours. Mar Ukva said, that's what my father did. He waited 24 hours after fleshiks before having milchiks. But I don't do that. I wouldn't eat cheese in the same meal. Once I eat meat, I won't eat cheese in the same su'uda, but l'su'uda sa'achrita achilna. But I would eat cheese the next meal. So I'm having breakfast. So if I have fleshiks for breakfast, I'm not going to have a milchik dessert. But the next meal, I'll already be willing to have milchiks. That's what Mar Ukva says. That's what Mar Ukva says. Yeah, there is a... So what do we have? What do we have? Just a non-Basar B'chalav comment about the last line that Marukva has, and then let's go back to sort of begin to put together the pieces and see where it takes us. But first, the non-Basar B'chalav comment, at Dvar Musar, Rabbi Shechter quotes actually from Bali Musar, he quotes this in the introduction to his Sefer Bikvei Tzon. In the Divrei Hashkafa that he has in the introduction, so he points out that the Bali Musar grapple with this comment of Marukva. Well, what's he doing? He's saying, my father did it right. And look at me. My father was wine. The wine version is 24 hours. I'm just vinegar. I'm waiting 6 hours. What does that mean? If you think what your father's doing is right, do it too. It's like an odd... Again, Marukva is not a small person. He's an Amora. It's not like... this is a person... Marukva was no doubt a man of extraordinary tzidkus, extraordinary insight into learning, extraordinary tzidkus, and extraordinary self-control. So what? It's like an odd statement. And the Gemara records it. So what are you trying to say? So the Gemara may be trying to tell us several things, including maybe a perspective on the dinim, as we'll see. But the Bali Musar suggests that maybe part of what Marukva is saying is Marukva recognized what his father was more machmir. It's clear, we'll see, and no one thinks that, no one argues that Marukva held that his father was following the Ikar HaDin and that he was being mezalzel. Clearly Marukva is saying, my father had a chumrah. My father weighed way more than Misuda Lasuda. My father had a chumrah to wait for 24 hours. They say it is, that was my father's chumrah, and that's impressive. Again, I'm vinegar, the son of wine. Vinegar is not garbage. Vinegar is a valuable commodity as well, but not as a high-end as wine. So he's saying, my father had enhanced chumras that I don't have, and the Bible mostly suggests, you got to go, this is one of the places where the Gemara loses the fact that growth, the value of gradualism, that growth has to be step by step. That enduring, stable, sturdy, long-term growth comes from going gradually building step by step by step, as opposed to jumping to something that I'm not really ready for yet. Marukva said, my father was on the Madriga, they're waiting for 24 hours, not Ikra Din, but it was a meaningful Midas Chasidus. Marukva says, but for me, it's not just that I'm vinegar because I only wait 6 hours. I'm vinegar and therefore... I only wait 6 hours. I'm not in my father's madriga. I'm who I am. Marukva was a tzaddik. We said my father was a much greater tzaddik. So for my father, it was appropriate and meaningful to adopt this midas chasidus to waiting for 24 hours. They say, I'm chala. I'm not in the madriga, my father. It would be silly. It would be out of proportion, and it would just be skipping steps. As I said, maybe the Bali Musar talk about the imagery in Yaakovinu's dream of the ladder, Sulam Mutzav Artsav Rosh Magia Shamayma, the conduit from beginning on ground zero all the way up to Shamayim is a ladder. One of the dynamics of a ladder is you can't skip steps. You can take, if you're going on a flight of stairs, you can go two at a time. If you take two rungs at a time on a ladder, you usually end up very quickly on the bottom. It's not sustainable. You got to climb a ladder. It has to be one step at a time. So that's what Marukva is modeling for us here. He was an ambitious Jew. But he said, you got to grow at an appropriate pace. To take on a chumrah that doesn't fit his level, that would be inappropriate. Yeah, question.
If you then read the rest of the Gemara, the next few cases which are similar, but my father is on the vinegar of my father, they seem to have nothing... Like, this is like a din derabanan. They don't even seem to be like a din.
Yeah, the rest of the
good. Right. Midas chasidus aspect. So like now we're taking that this is halacha, and the next case is just seems to be like midas chasidus aspects.
Well, yeah, it is right. It is interesting. The Gemara goes on to talk about taking care of your property. Like how often do you inspect your real estate?
But and they use the same terminology.
Yeah,
the same thing. I'm going to call it bar kamra. I'm just saying, it just seems odd.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This became the halacha of how long we have to wait when the other ones are just like minas chasidus. So
Yeah, so let's hold on to that point. That may become relevant very soon. So now let's, as we begin to compare and contrast this third segment of the Gemara, Kama Yisha, with the first segment of Agra and Ritzit Beit Misharsha back in Kuzdal and Beis. So again, let's just sort of solidify the last 10, 15 lines of Gemara that we learn, the Kama Yisha. So we saw, number there is a Chiyav Shehiyah, that's a Chiddush, that we hadn't heard up until. There is a Chiyav to wait, to be Shohei, between Milchus and Fleishus. Initially, it sounded like Rabbi Yechon disputed it, but the Gemara said Rabbi Yechon also accepts it, but he agrees with Chista that you only have a Chiyav Shehiyah after Basar, not after Gvina. And that's a good, the Gemara here is clearly, explicitly differentiating. There's an asymmetry. Meat first and milk first are not the same. The Gemara is explicit about that. And then you have this idea that one of the great ambiguity here is, well, the opening question was, how much do you wait? So Rabbi Yechon, well, not at all, right? The Gemara said, he was talking about after cheese, you don't have to wait at all. So we never got to hear, but Kama Yisha by Basar. It's like, Taka, good child. And Chizkiah says, you got to wait, how much? So Marukva seems to give us the answer. The answer is Misuda Lasuda. So, but that, in turn, is a Machlokas HaRishonah. Before we branch outward, just within this, they take a look at Tosfos and contrast it with the Rambam. Tosfos, right here, the short Tosfos, one of the short Tosfos, Lasuda Sachrita, says Tosfos, Lav Misuda Sharegilin Lasos Achas Shachas Yachas Arvis. It doesn't mean when you're on a typical meal schedule. It's clear from a number of Gemaras that they did not have our common practice of three meals a day. In the culture in which Amram lived, the common practice was two meals a day, a late morning meal and then an evening meal. And the idea of Shal Shudas is a Chiddush. No, it's a Chiddush. On Shabbos, you have three meals. Normally, you have two meals a day. Shabbos, you have three meals a day. So Tosfos says, that's not what we mean. We don't mean having fleishiks for brunch, let's call it, shachris, and having milchiks for supper. El afil altar, even immediately. Im silik ha-shulchon, uberach, mutter. If you move the table out and you bench, so then it's mutter. Delo plug rabban, because Chazal did not differentiate. Interesting use of the terminology, lo plug. This is a low plug lahakel. This is saying the rule. Tosfos holds the rule is literally misuda lasuda. The shear is from one meal to next. So once it's a new meal, whether it was a long interval of time between or a short interval of time between, it doesn't matter. Then Tosfos thinks there's no fixed time. The rule is just new seuda. How do they define new seuda? So they say two things. With the post on the page Shulchan Aruch pointed out, Tosfos said two things. Sile kashulchan and beirach. You move the table away and you bench. You move the table away. So in this room, we take out the tables every Tuesday night to have chabura. But we don't do that usually in our dining rooms. Our dining room tables stay in place from meal to meal. Our kitchen tables stay in place from meal to meal. And that's true in the 21st century. It was true in the 12th and 13th centuries as well. The Baal HaTosfos point out in Arvei Pesachim, they say they already have the practice that we have. The dining room table stays where it is. And Tosfos points out in B'tkufas HaTalmud that small, like cocktail tables, like little individual tables, each person had his own little table. And when you cleared up after the meal, you took the tables out. Tosfos points out the equivalent of moving at the table, Silo kashulchan, literally removing the table. So it says, for us, the equivalent is clearing the table. That's what we do. At the end of the meal, you clear the table. You don't carry the table. You don't carry the dining room table out of the dining room. That's because we have a massive dining room table that's meant for multiple people. But the Kuvas HaTalmud, they had little individual tables. You wouldn't clear off the tables. You would clear out the tables. So whatever it is, you clear, whether it's move the tables out or bismaneinu anu, clear the table. The meal is practically done, and halachically you bench. So you end the meal in both ways. That's what Tosfos says. Silek ubirich, you clear the tables and you say birkas hamazon, And then you start eating again. So that's mamash a new meal. It doesn't matter how long. Even if you're only going to start the meal in a short period later, it doesn't have to be the amount of time that normally elapses between breakfast, brunch, and supper. Whereas the Rambam disagrees explicitly. He says, Mesuda Lesuda has nothing to do with one meal, two meals. It's a way of saying 6 hours. As Rambam says, the amount of time that normally elapses from one meal to the next, which is Kemo Shesh Shos, in the range of 6 hours. So that's an explicit machlokas, Tosus and Rambam, how to interpret this line of Mar Okva. Misuda Lesuda Acharita, Tosus means literally just the next meal. And Rambam thinks it's just a way of saying the amount of time that typically elapses between one meal and the next, which is approximately 6 hours. So that's the Gemara here. That's the third segment. So there is a Chiyav Shehiyah, only after Basar, not after Gevina. And the Chiyav Shehiyah is Misuda Lasuda, which itself, Machlokas Tosfos Rambam, what does Misuda Lasuda mean? So that's the Gemara Kuvheim. But there's another Tosfos. There's a Tosfos on Kuv Dalet. The Tosfos on Kuv Dalet, the big Tosfos at the bottom of Kuv Dalet is Of Ugvina, the Maschal Of. The Tosfos points out that we have a problem on our hands. That I mentioned before, the Gemara, up until segment 3, had never mentioned waiting. The Tosfos points out it's worse than never mentioned waiting. The implication is that you don't have to wait. You have an out-and-out steer, Tosfos thinks, between the Gemara we just learned, what I was calling segment 3, which says there is a chiyuv to wait, bein basar lagvina, misuda losuda, versus going back to the first segment, the Agra and Ritzak Breid of Masharsha. What's the stira? Let's take a look at that Gemara. Tana Agra Chamua back in Kuv Dalet Amud Beis, around 10-12 lines off the bottom. Agra Chamua de Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba's father-in-law was named Agra. He is not as famous as his son-in-law. We hear Rabbi Abba's name in Talmud Bavli more than we hear Agra. Apparently Agra was a Talmud Chacham in his own right. And Rabbi Abba had fulfilled being Nosei Bas Talmud Chacham. He had married Agra's daughter. So Agra Talmud Chacham, who taught the following brisa. Of Ugvina Nechalam Ba'apikaren. So then when he recited the brisa, that you can eat Of Ugvina Ba'apikaren, a different girsos, but the Rashi's girs is Apikaren. She says, Derech Hefker. Just take liberties. Do whatever. In an unrestrained, undisciplined way. Just eat the chicken and the cheese. So who? Tani Lava, who Amrla? Agra, both was Tani and Amar. Tana and Amar, the verbs for Tana and Amora. The Tana are the ones who presented the brises, and Amoram are the ones who explicated them, who interpreted them. That's what it means. Who Tani La, he recited, he taught this brise. Who Amrla, that doesn't mean he said it, it means he interpreted. What does it mean? What do you mean, apikora? Not to eat them together, but below kinua, below until sedai, below pikinua chape. That there's no need for cleansing your hands, and there's no need for cleansing your mouth. The Gemara asks Akasha, how could that be? But listen to the story that happens several generations later. The end of the period of the Amoron. Ritzak Breidra of Masharshia, Ikra Lebe Ravashi. The Amor Ritzak Breidra of Masharshia travels to the home of Ravashi, Gadol Adar. Isulei Gavinas, they bring a cheese for this guest. Ocho, and he eats the cheese. Then subsequently, Isulei Bistra, they bring a flesh. Ocho, he ate that too. Lo Moshe Yadei, didn't wash his hands. Amalei Vahatani Agra Chamud Rabbi Abba Ofu Gavina Chamba Pikard. They challenged Rabbi Yitzchak. How could it be you didn't wash your hands? But Agra said over Braisa that Ofu Gvina is Dapi Koran, which means that what? That there's no need for washing hands. Ofu Gvina in. But Basar Gvina lo, they made a deal. It's only with the chicken, you don't have to wash hands after chicken, but you do have to wash your hands with the meat. So Amar Lo, said, of course, I agree that in principle you have to wash your hands. But I mean, the only to wash your hands if it's dark, if it's at night, and you can't tell whether your hands are sticky or not. So you have to wash your hands to remove residue. But be imama hachazina. But if it's daytime, so I can see that my hands are clean. So there's no need to wash. I did the equivalent of washing hands. I looked. You didn't notice it. I was looking. But I looked at my hands. I did a visual inspection. And that's why I did not do netilas yadayim. That is the Gemara. That's what we're calling segment number one. So Tosus says, Tosfos says, one second. Tosfos says that there's something internally strange about this Gemara. What's internally strange about the Gemara? The Gemara segment one had said that they attacked Ritzik Breyer of Masharsha's practice based on the Brisa of Agra. And he had to give an answer, well, it's because it's a Bayom. Well, what was the attack? The attack was, well, you ate cheese and then meat and you didn't wash your hands. But Agra says, oh, for Gvina, you do need to. So they're not the same. Ritzik Breyer Masharsha was Milchix first. The Brisa is Fleishix first. Right? And the Gemara had made a deal. Let's push it more. The Gemara made a deal. Ofu Gvina Apikaron is fine. But Basar Gvina, then you got to wash your hands. Really? Basar and then Gvina, you wash your hands? You wash your hands, or Buster Gvini waits 6 hours, or whatever Misud Lasuda means. So that Tosa says, what's going on here? What's going on here? And there are a series of kasha, but that's really sort of the crux, that's sort of the internal question, but the crux of between segment one and segment three, between Kuf Dalet Beis and Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, is do you wait after Milchik, after Fleishik, or not? On Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, we said Befei, Rishav Chista said, Yom Achal Basar Asal Echal Gvina. And on Kuf Dalet Beis, we said, it's not Nechal B'Apikoren. Basar Ugvina, Kinuach Adacha. Kinuach Etil Sedayim. Basar and then Gvina, Kinuach Etil Sedayim. What's going on? So Tosis has two approaches. Let's develop them in principle. Talk for a couple minutes, and then we're going to wrap up here. We'll continue with Shem. We'll wrap up the next couple minutes, and then we'll continue with Shem next week. But let's begin to put the pieces together. Tosis again has a steer between Kuf Dalet Beis, Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. Kuf Dalet Beis indicates Basar then Gvina, wash your hands, clean your mouth. Kuf Hei Amud Aleph says Basar then Gvina, you got to wait. So which one is it? So there are two approaches. We sort of assume we know the answer. Well, of course you have to wait. Again, that's our prejudice. Of course you have to wait. The Tosa says, Tosa's first answer is, well, maybe even though he said Basar Ugvina over here, we mean Gvina than Basar. The story is like Rav Masharsha is Milchix and then Fleishix. And that was the attack. Why don't you wash your hands? They say maybe that's all Agra meant. Milchix and then Fleishix. Even though it says Of Ugvina. So That's one approach. It requires some more polishing, but that's the first approach. Is that Of Gvina B'Apikoren, but Basar Gvina? Then there are rules. What are the rules? Well, it depends. If it's Basar first, you got to wait. If it's Gvina first, you got to at least wash your hands and wash your mouth. Okay, that's answer number one. That of course you absolutely do have to wait Bein Basar L'Gvina. And the Gemara, as the simple pshat in the Gemara in Dav Gimel, part three, Kuf Hei Amud Aleph Kipshuta, you must wait after Fleishik. Either Gemara, here we can explain what it means. And then, by the way, there's a further machlokas within this first approach. Is it even true that you have to wait after chicken? Or not? Because the Agra's language is Of Ugvina. Sounds like chicken first. You're not even washing your hands, let alone waiting. That's a further machlokas. Tosus thinks that the implication is you have to wait after meat, but not after chicken, and the Rambam disagrees. Okay. Rambam thinks you have to wait even after chicken. But that's, again, approach number one to the steer. With sort of the sub-discussion about chicken, but approach number one, shita number one, and that is the shita of the Rif, the Rambam, the first Teretz and Tosfos, is you do have to wait after Fleshix. And the Gemara in Kuf Dalet Beis wasn't attacking that. But there's the other approach. Tosfos then goes on to say, Rabbeinu Tam had a different angle. And it's not only Rabbeinu Tam, but it's also they call it the Bahag, the Baha'u Lachas Gedolos, one of the Gaonim, and it's also the position of the Baal Hamar. They all say, Baal Hamar appears in the back of the bottom of the Rif, and Rabbeinu Tam, the Bahag, the Baal Hamar, they all say, no, you're right. Kuf Dalet Beis indicates that there is no need to wait after Fleshix. Aye, we said in Kuf Ayman Aleph, you do. So Rabbeinu Tam says, either or. You have to wait if you didn't wash out your mouth. Go ahead, wash out your mouth. Kinuah chadacha, that's the first two segments of the sugya. If you didn't wash out your mouth, then you're going to have to wait. But it's either or, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Us, it's like a staggering chiddush, because we take it to our pressure. Of course, you have to wait. But that's really 2 days in Tosfos. And again, it's more than, it's beyond Tosfos. It's the first day in Tosfos aligned with the Rif and the Rambam. The second day in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, is aligned with the Bahag, and subsequently the Baal Hamar as well. This is a big machlokas. Do you have to wait till Milchus and Fleshix? Between Fleshix and Milchus, excuse me, or not? I mean, the Gemara says yes, but the question is you automatically have to? Or waiting is one of your options. Your other option is cleanse your mouth. And then they say, "I. What about Mar Ukva?" So maybe, here we come back to the point, Eric, you made before. We read Mar Ukva with Rambam eyes, and Mar Ukva is saying, Ikra Din, you got to wait. Mesud L'suda, his father was a Machmir who waited 24 hours. If you take the approach of Tam, then it's likely that even Mar Ukva is a Chumra. I mean, Mar Ukva was Machmir, he didn't want to just cleanse his mouth, he insisted on waiting 6 hours. Could just wash his mouth that bit. He already had a Chumra. His Chumra of 6 hours was not as great as his father's Chumra, super Chumra of 24 hours. And that can, Eric, you had said before, that would make the Mar Ukva's Chala Bar Chamra more parallel to the subsequent pieces of Gemara of Chala Bar Chamra, Leinu Kufayim et al, which are not really about Iker Hadin in any sense. So again, a steer between Kuf Dalet Beis and Kufayim et al, are you obligated to wait after Fleshix? A steer between what we're calling segment one and segment three. And two major approaches in Rishonim. And the two major approaches to how you miyashiv the kasha become a very significant machlokas halacha. Again, one of them sort of the sub machlokas as well. But the major machlokas is there an absolute need to wait after Fleshix, or you have to either wait or do kinuach v'hadacha. Either cleanse your mouth or else just let it sit. Rabbeinu Tam, Bahag, Baal Hamar think it's either or, either option, either kinuach v'hadacha sapeh, or else wait. While the Rif, the Rambam, and the first Teretz and Tosfos say no, you absolutely have to wait. And when and it's a misreading of the Gemara and Kuf Dalet. The Gemara and Kuf Dalet was never saying that kinuach v'hadacha works after Fleshix, the Gemara only meant it works after, and is necessary after Milchix. And then we said a further sub-machlokas within the day that we assume we paskin like, the Rif and the Rambam, the first day in Tosfos, that there is an obligation to wait after Basar. Is there also an obligation to wait after Oath? That's a further question of how you read the Gemara. Tosfos says it sounds like after Oath you could eat Kavina Bapikoran. The Rambam says, no, maybe even he really meant Gavina than Oath. The Rashba discusses a little bit. The Ramban throws it. It's a little bit confusing. Let's wrap up with this. A big machlokas are Rishonim. Obviously very relevant to halacha. We know that the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like the Rif, the Rambam, the first day in Tosfos. Let me just leave you with, and feel free to take a look if you'd like, the Rashba. I believe this appears in his Sefer Torah Sabayis as well, but I'm looking right now in the Rashba's Chidushim on Chulin, Rashba on Chulin, Mokuf Hey Amin Aleph. He at the end of the Sugya, if you have the Masada Rukuk edition, It's column Tavkuf Tzadi Zayin and Tavkuf Tzadi Ches, if you're interested in looking up afterwards. He presents both opinions. He says you have the Rif. He quotes more. It's the Rif, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam, the Balayitur. And I point that's also the first day in Tosfos. Versus Rabbeinu Tam, who he calls Rabbeinu Yaakov. That was his name. Tam was a nickname. And Yaakov and the Gaon, Bahag, and the Bahamar. So he presents both opinions. And then at the end he says, I hold like the shita that we hold of as well. I hold the Armuchayv to wait. I hold like the Rif and the Rambam. And he has three rise from the Gemara. So let's close with his three rise from within the Gemara. So reading the Gemara slowly and carefully, he really thinks that it's more indicated that this is an absolute chiyuv to wait, and you can't you can't test out of quarantine. So you can't wash out of waiting. Every time you could. Every time you could. Either wash your mouth or wait. But we paskin that you can't wash out of quarantine. You have to quarantine your mouth for 6 hours after fleshiks, and it's not going to help. All the toothbrushing and flossing is not going to help. So Rashba says very briefly, he says, I'll bring you three riots. He says, number one, and this is the point that the Rif himself makes, it's interesting, the Rif here is much more conversational. Usually the Rif just quotes lines of Gemara. Here he actually has some discussion of his own, some Shach Vataria. The Rif Ray makes the point, which becomes the Rashba's first raya, which is, if Maruk was being a machmir, why do you call himself vinegar? He himself is being machmir. You want to say, it's a grade B wine, grade A wine. It sounds like there's no chomer. This is like the bare minimum. Okay, number one. Number two, he says, the language of Rav Chista, achal basar asar lechal gvina. Those five words, and that's where the whole waiting comes from. Number one, he says asr. He's not saying a chumrah. Asr means asr meikar din. And it doesn't sound like there's another solution to say if you ate meat, you can't subsequently eat cheese. Well, you can't. You can't, if it means you can't eat cheese unless you do kinur v'adachah, that's not what he sounds like. That's Rashba's second riot to the Rambam. It sounds like there's an absolute need to wait, and you cannot rinse out. And then finally, he says, number three, he says, very interesting. He says, let's go back to the beginning of this piece of Gemara, segment Gimel. How did the Gemara start? And before we quote Rav Chista, it started with Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud asking him a shayla. Rabbi Yochanan, right? What did he say? Kama Yisha. And the answer was v'lo klum. Nothing. And the Gemara ultimately comes to the conclusion that the question was really, if you had cheese first, how much do you have to wait before you eat meat? The answer was, not at all. Right? So the Rashba says, well, what was the context? Was Rav Asi asking with Netilas HaDayim or without Netilas HaDayim? He says, well, clearly it was he meant with Netilas HaDayim because that's the Gemara on Kuf Daled Beis. That's exactly the case of Yitzchak Bar Masharsha. If you eat cheese, you have to wash your hands, or at least check your hands, before having meat. So, and the Gemara was comfortable with saying, once you do Netilas HaDayim, the Kinuach V'Hadacha, then you don't have to do anything else, only Gvina then Basar. But not Basar then Gvina. It's clear that we are differentiating between the two. If you put the pieces together, Rashi says, once you put the pieces together more subtly, you realize actually, we're saying Gvina and then Basar, you need something. And that becomes Siv Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Gvina and then Basar, you got to do Kinil Fadacha. But all that is insufficient if it's Basar and then Gvina. Basar and then Gvina, you need more. That's Gvina and then Basar, Kinil Fadacha, that's the V'lo Klum. You already washed your hands. You already rinsed out your mouth. So if it's cheese first, go ahead and eat the meat right away. But if it's meat first, the kinuach v'adacha doesn't allow you to go ahead right away. That's why it says, put the Gemara together carefully. The Tosis is kasha, it's really we have Tom's kasha, emerges from reading the part one very carefully. The Ofu Gvina Chon Bapikor. The Rashi says, but don't forget to read part three, don't forget to read Daf Kuf Hei very carefully also. And he says, you really get the impression that it is Me'ikra Din, that the Kinuach V'adacha does not allow you to not wait. You cannot skip the wait just by doing Kinuach V'adacha. Again, the big machlokes that we've shown him. As we'll see when we get to Mishnah next time, we'll open up with Se'if Alf and the Shulchan Aruch, which as we said before when we were surveying, Se'if Alf is about the Basar and then the Gvina, Se'if Beis is the Gvina and then the Basar. So Se'if Alf, because we pass it like the Rambam, Se'if Alf is going to be about waiting, Basar and then Gvina got to wait, and Se'if Beis, the Gvina first, is going to be, you don't have to wait, or do you, we'll see, interesting Chumra, but the Kinu Mikra didn't, no need to wait, there is a need for Kinuach V'adacha. Chavriya Shekach.